From the Gospel of John, our reading today is from chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will speak not on His own, but will speak whatever He hears. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Rick Rigsby is a PhD professor at Texas A&M University who became world known by a commencement address that he delivered. Just a few minutes speech where Rigsby, an African American that grew up in a poverty-stricken home, a home where his father was what Rigsby called a third-grade dropout. He went on, Rigsby did, to become the chaplain for the Texas A&M football team and a world-class speaker and lecturer in the field of leadership and communication. And as Rigsby stood proclaiming his commencement speech and listed all of his degrees and that his brother was a federal judge, he said, "But the two of us are not the smartest man in our family. No, it's a third grade dropout," Rigsby said. He quoted and shared how Mark Twain once said, "I never let my schooling get in the way of my education." He said, although his father left school as a third grader to help support the family on their farm, he never stopped educating himself. He learned to read and write and would quote Michelangelo or Michelangelo, depending on where you're from. And he would say to his boys, "Boys, I'll never have a problem if you aim high and miss, but I'll have a real problem if you aim low and hit." He would quote Henry Ford, who once said, "If you believe you can, and if you believe you can't, you're right on both instances." He described how this gentleman, this cook, taught him more about leadership in life by being a father, a leader, a sacrificial servant to his family than anything he ever learned in the classroom. So we celebrate that great commencement speech as we remember today the sacrificial love of fathers around us, but most of all, the sacrificial love of our Lord above. You know, as we consider this scripture reading today from John's Gospel, in many ways, we could describe it in some manner like a commencement speech of our Lord, a sending forth of those whom He has educated. We've been journeying now through John, beginning with John 13, all the way through John 17. What was Jesus' final teaching to His friends, that inner circle of the 12? In many ways, a commencement, a sending forth to minister and to serve in the world for God's glory and the benefit of those around. And throughout this journey, this commencement of our Lord, we've heard a consistent theme where our Lord Jesus, as He began this speech, He said, with this very diverse group of inner followers that had Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, polar opposites theologically, politically, and socially, where Jesus said, "Dear friends, if you're going to minister to this world, I want you to focus more on what you hold in common than what might separate you." And he said, the unifying document of our faith, the unifying statement of what we hold true as people of God is love. In this discourse, these chapters 13 through 17, Jesus uses that word love some 31 times to speak of what unites us as people of faith. His final message to the church, to his friends and followers, and dear church, to us today. And it was in Acts, as you celebrated last Sunday in my absence, in the great work and leadership of Dr. Charles Holland, the Pentecost of our church, the birthday of our church, as some would say, as the Holy Spirit came upon the believers and empowered them to be the hands and feet of Christ even beyond his ministry on earth. And our scripture says in Acts chapter 2 that after receiving the Holy Spirit, the gift of God from above, the Spirit of truth, that the church, those believers, were united as one. They held everything in common, our scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2. That, dear friends, is the gift of what the Holy Spirit gives to us as God's church. He equips us. He sustains us. He comforts us. He guides us. He nurtures us. The Spirit loves us. That is the Spirit of truth. In a world filled with rejection, in a world filled with doubt and concern and worry, we hear the words of life from God's Holy Spirit that comforts us and sustains us and proclaims that through Jesus Christ, we are all children of God. That's the gift of life available to us through our Lord and Savior by simply trusting in Him through His life-giving love. It's unity that our church was built upon. It was the very foundation that Christ ministered to his disciples, and then, friends, those disciples, those first century church leaders, embraced that community and that sense of unity in all they did and say. Paul said it this way. Not only do we hear it in Acts as Luke chronicles the life of the church, Paul commissioned the church to the church in Corinth that was living with some division and dissension. Paul, very early in the verse in the first chapter, beginning with verse 10, he said, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, that all of you should be in agreement, that there should be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." You see, the church is built upon what we celebrate more than what might divide us. Jesus Christ was committed to us as the church, not being so focused on our opinions, but on our single agenda of spreading His love, of proclaiming His gospel, of living our faith beyond even what we say and to what we do to the far reaches of the world. Friends, that's what we're all united in. It was Peter, right? We know the story of Peter as we read through John, who denied our Lord, where Peter said, "Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And Christ said, "Before the cock crows three times, Peter, you'll deny even knowing me." And the beautiful passage where Peter was reinstituted as the leader of the church, where Jesus had one question for Peter. He had to ask him three times, but he had simply one question: "Peter, do you love me?" Friends, that is the unifying statement of our faith. That is what we are to be about as the church. And if we find ourselves quibbling and getting separated on minor issues instead of majoring in the central issue of our faith. Surely we've lost focus as the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's built upon unity. As Deborah shared earlier, as our session began this journey with a new mission emphasis in our congregation, as we sat in that session room and we began this discussion, how do we move forward in missions? How do we move forward when our budget is exhausted? How do we live beyond our budget to serve the community outside of these walls? And there was a sense of unity, right, Lynn? There was a sense of agreement, Bobby, throughout the room that with God's grace, we can do this and we step forth in faith. Friends, when there is unity in the church, there is the power of the Holy Spirit at work. We are relying on God's vision and direction for our ministry instead of our own when we succumb and embrace the unity through the love of our Lord. Isn't it funny? Isn't it amazing that our very nation was founded upon this same commitment to unity? You know, unity doesn't mean that we always agree. The forebears of our country, one of the foundational statements that helped create our Constitution, was known as the Great Compromise. A willingness to not have everything my way, but to embrace the opinions and the central unifying document that will move us forward. As Kendall spoke of, the power of living waters of the world is that we can work together and become bigger and stronger than we could have divided. Friends, that is the strength of the church. Combining our love in unity, gathering our resources, our prayers to serve the world beyond us. That is what our church, as Christian people, is built upon, unity. It was George Washington, the first president of our nation, what some call the father of our country, who was the only president who never claimed a political party. He said, I'm the president of all the people. He said, I believe that we are stronger together when we focus on what we're about more than what we're against. In our scripture, as we focus today not only on Father's Day, but also this great festive day of our church, known as well as Trinity Sunday, an emphasis upon how our very Godhead embraced unity. You see, it wasn't just our church, and it wasn't just our nation, but dear friends, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Trinity embrace a unity as well. Did you hear it in our text? As Jesus proclaimed the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that we're called to rely upon and listen to guide our faith in ministry, that he said, even the Spirit doesn't speak his own words, Jesus said, but he speaks what he's heard. The Spirit listened to the Father. The Spirit listened to the Son. The Son listened to the Spirit. You remember Jesus' baptism, right? Where he heard the voice from heaven. And it tells us that the Spirit came down upon him like a dove. And the Spirit empowered Jesus' ministry on earth and comforted him even in his temptation. The Spirit empowered Jesus. And now Jesus is empowering the Spirit. Is encouraging the Spirit, affirming the Spirit to nurture the church. You see the unity of the Godhead where Jesus has proclaimed in this commencement address to his disciples that I came to bring glory to the Father. And what did the Father do? Glorify me. The Godhead, dear friends, is committed to unity. You see, there's an emphasis in our text that tells us why Unity is important. We heard it referenced in our mission emphasis today, that we're stronger together when we're unified. We heard it in the foundations of our nation when George Washington said we need to be a United States to prepare for defense from other countries around us. We are stronger together. Sometimes that's the why of unity. But friends, our God of grace also speaks to us today about the how of unity. How can we be unified? It's rooted in humility, a willingness to say and to embrace that I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit of truth to guide my life in ministry, our family, our church, our work. Almighty God, we surrender to you because we don't have all the answers, but the Spirit of truth does. You see, it was humility that guided the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul records it in his letter to the church in Philippi, where he proclaims to us, even current day followers of Christ, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became a servant for you and me. And all who trust in him, who humbled himself, Paul would say, even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Friends, the Spirit of truth proclaims to you the same promise that Jesus our Lord heard at his baptism. You, dear children of God, are dearly loved. And as you are loved, may you go forth in that love to love the world around you in what you say and what you do as the unified people of faith who proclaim Christ's love to all around. Amen.